And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing our show on the final day of January, the 31st, 2025. And Tom, right on cue, we will have January exit as one of the coldest months here in Tucson in at least 25 years. And then it's time to crank up spring. As they say in Ireland, tomorrow is St. Bridget's Day, the unofficial start of spring. We're going to be in the mid to perhaps upper 80s.
I think Bridget is going to be poolside by Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, she will be poolside. That's good. Good way of putting it. Thank you, Tom. Tom, with always great input on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. Welcome to the Buckmaster Program, broadcasting from central Tucson in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, part of the Bustos Media Broadcast Center, where we have now five very popular radio stations under one roof. This one's 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. We began our 15th year with our radio program on January 2nd, and that means 37th year for me in Tucson broadcasting. We have our worldwide live listening podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. And when we crank up the live line, which we will do here in a moment, that is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Quick shout out to some of our media friends, TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith, and his team, Dan Scheer and the group at Green Valley News, and Sahorita Sun, Caitlin Schmidt, and her new enterprise, Tucson Spotlight. With me for my co-media guest host, Tim Steller, award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Hey, Tim.
Hi there, Bill.
Let's get right into it for our Friday Focus interview. No shortage of topics with the Arizona Attorney General, Chris Mays. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. Can you give our listeners a little bit of an overview? How much ICE, immigration, and customs enforcement action? I mean, there's always action going on, but what are you guys monitoring at the AG's office? How much is going on as far as so-called roundups?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, we're looking at that, and what we're hearing right now of greatest concern to the community is actually from our schools. I recently, actually yesterday, had a meeting with school officials who are, frankly, they're alarmed at the possibility of ICE raids at schools. You know, that hasn't happened yet, but we know it's something that is of concern to them, and they're looking for guidance from me. So that's something that, you know, I would just say watch this space. We took that information in, you know. And then the other thing that we've heard concern about is concern that ICE may be detaining or stopping members of our tribal community. We now have at least one confirmed incident of that. And so, you know, I'm considering how to address that with the federal government. Obviously, Native Americans are American citizens, and the federal government needs to understand that and should not be rounding up our tribal members here in Arizona or anywhere else. So those are two things that come to mind. Obviously, I'm very supportive of, you know, border security. You know, we are the tip of the spear when it comes to fighting our fentanyl crisis. But one of the things that Donald Trump just did this week, and I'm sure you guys will want to talk about this, is he defunded our police and defunded our fentanyl, our efforts to fight the fentanyl crisis, when he issued his federal funding freeze or pause. That defunded, or would defund if I'm not able to stop it in court, and I think I'm going to be able to stop it in court with the other AGs in this country, but that would have defunded 27 HIDA initiatives. Those are high-intensity drug trafficking areas. So that is insane, guys. That Trump would do that on the one hand, and then be saying that claiming that he cares about border security.
Let's bring Tim Stellar into the conversation. Go ahead, Tim.
Hello there. So I believe you brought suit on that. You mentioned that you brought suit on that issue. You also have a suit, I believe, on the birthright citizenship executive order. Is that right?
Yes, that's right, Tim.
It's not just you, right? It's you and some others. How does that work?
Yeah. So this is both of these lawsuits that I filed are what are called multi-state lawsuits. So I filed them in conjunction with most of the other Democratic state AGs. Unfortunately, we didn't have any Republican AGs file on, but you know, certainly are file with us, but they could. But we, filed a lawsuit to prevent Trump from trying to essentially write out of existence through executive order the 14th Amendment's protection of birthright citizenship. Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, as you guys know, says that all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States, period, full stop. And Trump issued an executive order that was just blatantly unconstitutional that tried to overturn that. We sued in federal court. Our lawsuit was in the Western District of Washington State, and then there was a separate lawsuit by some other AGs on the East Coast.
So on that subject, one of the things that surprised me in reading President Trump's executive order on birthright citizenship is how strict it was. Can you tell us about that? About who can, if he ends up winning this lawsuit and so under the terms of the executive order, who could be a U.S. citizen who is born in the United States, and what people born in the United States could not be a citizen?
Yeah, so basically what they're attempting to say, we think, is that they would be writing a new constitutional provision, which, again, they cannot do without a constitutional convention. But they want to basically say that both parents would have to be American citizens. And that's just not the way it works in our country. The 14th Amendment doesn't say that. And this is going to create stateless babies in Arizona and across the country. I mean, think about it right now, you guys. We have pregnant women in Arizona who do not know whether or not the babies that they deliver next month or this month are going to be American citizens. And that is crazy. And we allege that it's also going to cost the state of Arizona hundreds of millions of dollars because we get a lot of federal funding for children who are, citizens of this country. And all of a sudden we would not get a tremendous amount of federal funding. And then that burden would be placed on the state of Arizona. So in addition to it just being flatly unconstitutional, there is real damage to the state of Arizona. And, I don't think that Arizonans, even Arizonans who voted for Donald Trump, voted for a dictator or voted to have a dictator.
I just want to clarify one thing. Now, my understanding, and I may have been the one misreading this, is that people who are permanent legal residents, i.e. green card holders, also could have citizen children, but that those with temporary status like visa, work visa holders or student visa holders, that those sorts of people could not, and of course people who are undocumented could not have citizen children. So I'm just trying to clarify, is that your understanding as well, that people who are legal permanent residents, their children would be citizens by birthright under this order?
No, I don't think that's right, Tim. But I think the fact that you're confused about this is important.
Yes, and, we're all confused.
It's the chaos. That is the problem. And, it was so broad that I think you can read it to say that both parents have to be citizens. And then, what I've said, since this thing came out is, what are we supposed to do? Think about, guys, when you had your children. I think about when I had my baby. Am I supposed to, produce my birth certificate and the father of my baby's birth certificate and the birth certificates of both of my parents and both of his parents?
Oh, boy.
And, And oh boy, exactly, Bill. And is that now the job of the hospital to determine, to gather up all of those birth certificates when the baby is being born? It's just really insane. And there's no answers for that coming from the Trump administration. And I will also note that the Reagan-appointed judge in this case that I brought called this blatantly unconstitutional, and he issued a TRO against it within 25 minutes of hearing the case.
Had a quick question from a listener. What about the Riley, the Lincoln-Riley Act? Will the AG be enforcing that?
Yeah, so the Lincoln-Riley Act obviously was just passed by Congress, and the Lincoln-Riley Act was. And, I think, first of all, it's very interesting that, number one, there's no money to implement it. So it's yet another unfunded mandate by the federal government on the states. I would say, I think I can speak for all 15 of our county sheriffs who would say, well, where's the money to enforce this thing? And it also, interestingly enough, gives me a whole lot of authority now to influence federal immigration policy and to sue the federal government if I think the federal government isn't doing something that it needs to be doing on border control and border policy. So I thought it was a really interestingly crafted piece of legislation that had no money attached to it. What we really need to be focusing on is going after the Mexican drug cartels, funding our efforts to prosecute them, to interdict drugs at the border, to prevent those drugs from coming into the country. Obviously, deporting dangerous criminals is a good idea and is something that I think is fair and should be done. And I'm going to stay focused on what we're doing to fight the fentanyl crisis in Arizona. And I will be, if I think it's necessary, I will be using that provision of Lincoln-Riley
right.
to hold the federal government's yes. feet to the fire in doing what it ought to do.
On these two issues that you brought up at the top of the program, First Nation people and schools. So those are on your radar right now.
Yep, both of those certainly are.
Yes. All right. Pause right here. Stay with us. Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General, Buckmaster on a Friday. Tim Stellar's here, the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
Take the Regional Transportation Authority's brief survey of its draft $2.46 billion Regional Transportation Plan. The 20-year RTA Next Draft Plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. The RTA Board will consider your feedback before it prepares a final draft for voter consideration as early as November 2025. We invite you to take our brief survey at rtanext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. Friday edition, our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show. The Attorney General of Arizona, Chris Mays. Tim Steller's here from the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, why don't you kick off segment two?
Well, yeah. So we were just talking about the lawsuits that your office is filing to block some of the Trump executive orders. And it struck me like this must take a lot of effort. I mean, not just you, of course, but you've got line attorneys, I assume, who are doing all this work. So like, how many people do you dedicate to this kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, Tim, it's interesting. You're the first reporter to ask me about that. And it's a good point. And it does take resources. It takes a lot of time and effort. And obviously, we are doing most of these lawsuits in tandem with other states, which helps. But we still have to gather information and affidavits. The governor's office has been extremely helpful. We have to gather information from our state agencies. So when the federal funding freeze came down, for instance, which, by the way, would have devastated Arizona. I mean, most states, including Arizona, get about 30% of their budget from the federal government for everything from, you know, the HIDAs that I mentioned, the drug trafficking interdiction to Medicaid, access, Head Start, hospitals, rural hospitals would have been decimated. So we gathered up all of that information. You know, we statistics like, you know, more than 630,000 Arizona families would be literally left in the cold when they couldn't get their LIHEAP assistance for utilities. More than 15,000 children could lose their child care through Head Start. So yeah, it is incredibly disruptive. We're going to continue to do all the work of the Attorney General's office in addition to fighting anything that is unconstitutional coming at us from the federal government. But we have a duty. I took an oath to protect the American in the Arizona Constitution, and I'm going to do that along with all the other Democratic AGs in this country.
Well, you mentioned the pause in federal grants that was rescinded. You sued over it, and then later it was rescinded. However, it was really just trying to operationalize the president's earlier executive orders, such as the one trying to ban diversity, equity, and inclusion practices, as well as the quote-unquote ill-defined Green New Deal. Are those not just those? So there's this existing executive order. Granted, the one trying to enforce it went away, but are you going to sue on that?
Did it, though, Tim? Like, you know, the question is, the problem with that, they did rescind the OMB memo instituting the broad sweeping freeze, and then the White House press secretary came out and rescinded the rescission.
Yeah.
So they unrescinded the rescission, and that's why we're still in federal court fighting for a TRO in front of a federal judge, and we expect that ruling out today on our TRO. Mm. So. And to your point, Tim, like if that memo was really just about enforcing the original executive orders on DEI or whatever they're claiming, then why would they be defunding our drug trafficking interdiction efforts? What in the world? I was going to use a different word, but I won't.
Thank you for not using the radio word.
So this is a family program.
Yes, thank you.
What in the world were they doing defunding Head Start and our efforts to fight the Mexican drug cartels? I mean, that it makes absolutely no sense. So you have to ask the question, are they incompetent or are they venal? I don't know. But one way or the other, it was unlawful. And we're gonna beat them in court again, and we will beat them and beat them and beat them as long as we have to. And this is no way to govern our country, and it's certainly I'm not going to let them harm our state or our citizens.
All right, Chris Mays, let's talk about rural Arizona groundwater, an issue that is near and dear to your heart. We have House and Senate bills here in Arizona that are moving to protect rural Arizona groundwater. Give us an update on what's going on.
Yeah, so I believe the governor just announced or introduced, along with some legislators, some bipartisan legislation on groundwater, which, mm-hmm. I definitely support the bill that would allow local jurisdictions to do more in the way of protecting their groundwater supplies. And that's something that I know multiple rural county supervisors and both, local Republicans and Democrats support that legislation. The governor and I both do. It's really critical. And it's, as you know, I have filed a lawsuit against one entity in western Arizona, Fondamonte, the Saudi-owned giant agribusiness alfalfa grower, for overpumping and damaging their neighbors. You know that I'm looking at a possible lawsuit against Riverview Dairy down in Cochise County, which is pumping so much water out of the ground in an unfettered way that it is literally cracking people's homes, cracking open the earth, causing fissures, and causing, most importantly, people to lose their wells and their livelihoods. And I'm going to continue to do those kinds of lawsuits, those nuisance lawsuits, until this legislature gets that groundwater legislation passed.
And
I
the
hope they do.
That nuisance legal vehicle has not been previously used.
No,
correct?
It has not. It's not, and it's the first time that any AG has done this, but I think it's applicable, and it is the law of Arizona, and I intend to enforce the law of Arizona to protect the people of rural Arizona.
It's the Wild West in Arizona when you get outside the major metropolitan areas when it comes to water.
Yeah, it feels that way. And I will tell you, when I've done my town halls both in Cochise County and in La Paz County, where we had more than 200 people turn out both of them, it's everybody affected, both Republicans and Democrats, and probably in these areas more Republicans than Democrats. And they were all very grateful that they had an AG who was willing to enforce nuisance law to protect them. And I got to tell you guys, you know that I've done a lot of town halls in my life, most of them during my time as an Arizona Corporation Commissioner. I have never done town halls that were this emotional and impactful in terms of the kind of damage that is being done to Arizonans and their lives by this heavy pumping that is being allowed. And we're just not, I'm not going to stand by and let it happen just because the legislature can't get its act together on this issue.
Here's Tim Stellar.
Is there any sign that they will get their act together, so to speak, especially when there have been certain legislators who block every bill that comes through on groundwater?
I don't know, Tim. I mean, that's the big question, right? That's the unanswered question. They didn't do it last year. I thought they would. The governor, made good on her threat this year of creating an AMA in Cochise County. If they didn't, I obviously have now filed one nuisance lawsuit and am prepared to file others if they don't. This legislative session should not end until they do. And if I were the governor, I would not let them out of legislative session. I would not pass or approve a budget until this legislation gets passed.
Republican lawmakers say the repeal of universal vouchers, or even to scale them back, is just dead on arrival. Is there anything that I know you've been very active in this regard, and so many people have complained. There just is not the accountability that satisfies folks when it comes to vouchers.
Yeah, I mean, this is really a program without boundaries. And, you know, I think there are definitely things that the legislature needs to do to make this program accountable and that will make it so it's not so easy to defraud the state. As you know, I have now done several prosecutions, or I'm in the midst of several prosecutions, for just flat out fraud against the taxpayers. We have had individuals where we have alleged these people have created fake birth certificates to get vouchers and to pull down, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's not even to mention the fact that people have legally been able to use voucher money on things like trips to Disneyland and buying dune buggies. So, you know, I think income caps on vouchers would be one very simple compromise that could be made. One would presume by both sides of the aisle, but it looks like the Republicans aren't willing to even do that. So in the meantime, I'm going to continue to push to try to root out fraud in this program. But it's approaching $1 billion, guys, and it is also doing real damage to our public school system. And I think that is just very, very sad.
All right, Attorney General Chris Mayes, we're going to keep you just for a couple more minutes because I know you have to go to another event. But Tim, what else did you have on your plate?
Well, you said an interesting phrase there, if I were governor a minute ago. I wanted to ask you about the politics of the moment. First of all, I believe you have said that you're not going to run for governor, at least this time, correct?
That's right.
Okay. So secondarily, you do have, if you choose to run for re-election, you got a dicey political situation here where you're suing the Trump administration repeatedly in a state that voted handily for Trump. Does that not put you in a kind of political peril come the next election?
You know, I don't think so, because I don't think that when people voted for Donald Trump, they voted for chaos and unconstitutionality. You know, Arizona voted for.
Why not? Isn't that what we got before?
You can make that argument. I don't think we got this before. This is a whole new level of unconstitutionality. People voted for lower prices, for border security, for somebody who will fight for them. Those are all things that I am doing every day as Attorney General. And you know, so I think that, you know, at the end of the day, folks are going to vote for somebody for Attorney General who they know will fight for them. And that's what I'm doing. And, you know, we will let the chips fall where they may. I feel confident in my ability to run and to win. You know, I feel good about putting myself up against whoever the Republicans put forward. We'll see who that ends up being.
All right. One quick question about that fentanyl issue. So where are we right now with that situation before these stop work orders came down from the federal government? Were we making a dent in the fentanyl crisis, Chris Mayes?
Yeah, I feel like we are. I mean, I will tell you that we have seized more fentanyl pills under my first 2 years in office than under my predecessor's last 2 years in office. The DPS is making, we just had a record seizure along with DPS the other day. But we need the federal government to really step up and do more. You know, under Biden and under Trump 1.0, the DEA had more DEA agents in three times more DEA agents in New York State and Florida than Arizona. And we are where 50% of all of the fentanyl seizures in the last 2 years have happened. So that is insanity. That is the definition of insanity, that the federal government has consistently failed to bring us more DEA agents. And they need to bring more resources to offices like mine, which are really the tip of the spear when it comes to fighting the fentanyl crisis.
All right. We're going to let you go. A listener just pointed out that a name very familiar to Susonans, Rodney Glassman, is actually a Republican candidate for AG. So there you go, Chris Mays.
We shall see. Yes.
All right. Thank you very much, Chris. Catching up with you.
Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot. Bye. All right. Take a break right here. I've got a lot for Mr. Steller on the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. Then coming up at about 10 minutes toward the hour, Weekend Watch with our very popular Ken Carr, the midday guy, on our sister station 101.7. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster in the saddle. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. And Tim Steller is with me in studio. Tim, the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks.
Also award-losing. There are some I've applied to and lost.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you were runner-up for a couple of them.
Sure.
Yeah, but anyway, thanks to Chris Mays, Arizona Attorney General. Boy... Tim.
A lot going on.
Got her hands full countering some of these edicts or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, a lot of reaction, a lot of comments to your column about Congressman Raul Grijalva. Maybe it's time for the congressman to bow out at this point. He is, of course, undergoing treatment for cancer.
Yeah, you know, so it's always a dicey or touchy situation,
yeah,
with especially a respected longtime politician. He has been mostly, almost completely out of office. When I say that, I mean not voting on the floor since the end of February last year. So that's pretty much 11 months at this stage.
I think he's missed maybe the most votes.
Yeah, I think he's missed the most votes.
Most votes.
He's still in office.
Yes.
There. And, you know, the thing I brought up is that he was one of the first to call for Joe Biden to step aside. They're not completely parallel situations because, you know, Biden, of course, was the incumbent president and the presidential candidate. He called for Biden to step aside as a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
But the justification, I think, is similar to mine for why he should consider stepping down, which is, you know, these are really high stakes times, which is why he asked Biden to step aside. He thought another replacement would have a better chance. We haven't had anyone, you know, voting in the CD7 seat for a long time, other than a handful of votes in November. It's a narrowly divided House. Right now it's 218 for Republicans versus 215 for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
So two Republicans vote with the Democrats, and all the Democrats vote together, and they win on a given vote. So, that's my explanation for why I thought it was time to start considering it.
And could you explain briefly the process if he were to resign today? What would the wheels would be set in motion,
yeah,
for a special election, and how does that play out?
Well, the important thing to remember is that it is not an appointment. So I believe in the case of U.S. senators, there is an appointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, that's why we had John Kyle again and that sort of thing. In the case of U.S. representatives in the Congress, it is strictly an election process. So what happens is, once the seat becomes vacant, the governor has, I think, 72 hours to, it's 72 hours to set a primary election. Then the primary election has to be within 120 to 133 days. So that's essentially 4 months, or a little more than 4 months. So the primary election has to happen a little over, or about 4 months from the time the vacancy occurs. And then after that, it's another 70 to 80 days, so more than about 2.5 months, till the general election is held. So the point being, it's a six to seven month process to get a new person elected. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you were to step down today, it would be another 6 to 7 months, which means basically a year and a half without anyone in the seat.
It'd be into the autumn before we would have anybody.
Yeah, probably, you know, maybe
so,
July.
The obvious question, Tim, we've got a couple of names that come up. Rahina Romero, the Tucson mayor, Adelita Grijalva.
Mm-hmm.
What are you hearing?
I mean, I don't think I'm hearing anything dependable.
I,
you know, those are the obvious choices, and it could easily be either of them. Another name I've heard come up is Andres Cano, who is a former state legislator.
And now a lobbyist for the city of Tucson.
Now working for the city of Tucson.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different people who are have been allies or elected officials under the Grijalva umbrella who could potentially replace him. I mean, it's an open primary in general, so anyone can run. He doesn't get to point to someone, but so far in many elections, his
endorsement
has carried the day, and I would think it would in this case too.
And I remember when he first ran, there were at least a dozen.
So many.
In fact, I had to host on TV on Channel 6 the primary debate, and here I was. It looked like a telethon. We had 12 people, and they each got 2 minutes
right.
to make a statement, opening statement, basically then 2 minutes to make a closing right, statement. Right. That's it.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, it was a wild time. That was back in 22, I believe. I mean, 2002.
2002. That sounds about right.
Yeah. And, you know, he went on to establish a kind of permanent residency there, which can happen in a district like that where it's mostly aligned with one party.
And this all plays into, and I thought that was a really good column. I think it was the first week of January where you sort of laid out, this is a really pivotal year, not just with what's going to happen with Congressman Grijalva, but you've got the city sales tax coming up. The ballots go out now in less than 2 weeks
yep.
for the city sales tax. You've got the RTA potentially going to the voters in November. This is a really important year.
Yep. Also, three city council elections.
Three city council elections.
Two of which are contested, or going to be two. Well, let me put it this way. Two of the three that are up are going to be open seats because right. Richard Fimbres has said he's not running for re-election in Ward 5.
And then Kozacek's old
yeah,
seat.
Ward 6, Steve Kozacek's old seat. Karen Ulick is in that, and she's just a temporary placeholder. She was appointed when Steve Kozacek stepped down.
So there'll be two new council people.
Two new council members. You know, a lot of this, as you say, does play together because there is a a progressive majority that has governed the city of Tucson, increasingly elected officials allied with Raul Grijalva and that group, Regina Romero being the mayor being one of them. And a lot of things could change if, for example, Representative Grijalva were to step down and then Mayor Romero were to take win his seat. Well, a lot of shifts could occur. And and separately, this question of Prop 414, the city sales tax, is being highly contested
it
right
is.
Now.
It is. You do feel there's a momentum against this thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think the city officials rightly point out that they have won a lot of sales tax elections and
at
bond elections.
At least two
recently.
Or three recent ones in a row.
I would point out, now, this isn't the same kind of election, but when it was the Tucson Electric Power Charter reauthorization election last year, I believe.
Yes.
You know, they set it for May, which is a time when fewer voters vote, where, you know, it's a more malleable electorate.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we voted it down handily.
Yes.
To my mind, I wrote columns saying I didn't think it was a good good idea. And so there is precedent in recent years for city voters to vote against city initiatives.
That's a good point.
And I could see this going either way. I mean, the money goes.
I could too.
Yeah, yeah.
I could too.
Yep.
One other column. By the way, are you working on something for Sunday?
Oh, am I? Yeah, it's as you know, in the Trump years, it tends to be drinking from a fire hose, and I am taking a solid swallow this week.
Weren't you asking for people on Facebook something about federal workers or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to suss out the impacts of the various executive orders and memos that have gone out. And so in the case of federal workers, you know, there have been these emails that have gone out asking people to step down, take a buyout.
Resign.
Yeah, so I was asking for people to contact me who are federal workers who have received that kind of treatment. And then separately, there's a lot going on that relates to that executive order trying to ban diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as the Green New Deal, which doesn't really have a definition. There are so many grants to entities that have embraced DEI programs or been forced actually by the federal government to say how they would do DEI within the grant process.
Now it's going the other way.
So, right. So there are so many. I was talking to a representative for a disabled group oriented toward disabled people. DEI, since 2021, it's actually been known as DEIA, Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility. That includes all the programs for disabled people. And in fact, the other day, President Trump was pointing out programs for the disabled and blaming the plane crash on hiring in that way. Well, these are programs. There's many programs for the disabled that are federally funded. And theoretically, at minimum, they are put at risk by this executive order. So I'm writing about those impacts for Sunday's column.
And think about all the nonprofits in this town. Tucson, I've often said, may have more nonprofits per capita than any other city in the country. Think of all the federal money that those nonprofits get.
Right. I was talking to someone in that realm just this morning who was telling me about this whole thing. Under Biden, you had to include a DEI explanation in your application for grants. So if the Trump administration wanted to punish people for having DEI in their grant applications, well, that's everybody in Tucson who has a federal federal grant because they were asked to do that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they wouldn't be that nonsensical in applying their effort to kill off that program and approach. But we don't really know, and that's the problem.
I don't really have a lot of time for this, but I think it's worth noting TUSD wanted to sell its out-of-date headquarters, 1010. They'd been over there forever, 1010 East 10th Street, for $18.3 million to a student housing developer. Then they would use that money to buy the old TEP building on West 6th for $11 million. So there was like a profit of nearly $7 million. Now it doesn't sound like such a sweet deal.
Yeah, I mean, so what they always were going to have to spend some money for renovation. So it's always going to be something over 11, maybe 14 million, maybe 15, 16 million. At this stage, though, the renovation cost plus the purchase cost means that they would lose money on the deal. They don't even know how much they're going to get for the old headquarters, 1010 East 10th, at this stage, because they don't have a good buyer. Two buyers have dropped out. They will eventually have a buyer, but how much they'll get, we don't know.
All right, Tim, we'll look for your work at the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you.
All right, the Buckmaster Show. Take our break here, the final break of the show, and then coming back, the very popular midday host on The Drive 101.7 will do Weekend Watch with some great ideas for what's going on this weekend. And, of course, it's winter in Tucson. That's our prime time. That means there's a ton of stuff going on. He'll have some great tips for us right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. You can now review and comment on the Regional Transportation Authority's draft $2.46 billion regional transportation plan at one of several upcoming RTA Next open houses. The draft 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, and environmental improvements for the greater Tucson region. It's your plan. Tell us what you think. Learn more and find dates for an upcoming open house near you at rtanext.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Only it's about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do. It's a great weekend getaway. Start your planning now for an enchanting outing and getaway in the land of enchantment by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Now with us for Weekend Watch, Ken Carr, the very popular midday host on 101.7 The Drive, a station that I listen to a lot. Ken has some great ideas to make the weekend special, and it shouldn't be that hard to find a ton of stuff, Ken Carr. It's winter, prime time in Tucson. I mean, stuff happening. Gem show and on and on.
Well, we're a unique city. A number of places around the country, when you go east, tend to use summer as their big time of the year because the weather's nice.
Sure.
Here, the weather's nice so much that we slow down in the summer because it's just too darn hot to be outside. Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of stuff in the winter.
So the Gem Show is still continuing. And one of the things that's exciting about the Gem Show, so the events kind of start in mid-January, but it really kicks in now that tomorrow's February 1 for about the last two-week stretch, including adding as we get closer to Valentine's Day, the show that's at the Tucson Convention Center.
Oh, yeah. That started actually in a local elementary school in the cafeteria.
Oh, really?
Yes,
I didn't know that.
That's where it started, and look what it's grown into. I mean, it's the signature event that kind of the Gem Show grew up around.
And people travel from all over the world
all
for this,
over,
which is amazing.
All over the world.
So I did find a really cool website. This is not a promoted thing. I just went searching on the internet. The Google is friendly for all of us, right? To TucsonGemShow101.com. And they have a section under, if you click on schedule, that literally gives you every Gem Show location all around Tucson. There are a lot of them.
Yeah.
So some of the larger ones, like 22nd Street or around Keno Stadium, as well as the one at the TCC. But there are a number of hotel locations, et cetera, what hours they're open, what they're offering, whether they're wholesalers only or open to the public. All of that's there. And, again, that's TucsonGemShow101.com.
Great information. That sounds like a one-stop clearinghouse for all your Gem Show needs.
The Arizona Renaissance Festival kicks in starting tomorrow.
Mm.
Now, it's...
We'll dress with a... We'll bring our sword and shield with the Buckmaster coat of arms with the fleur-de-lis, and I'll be all ready.
So that I can't wait to see it, by the way. East of Apache Junction on Highway 60, so a little bit of a drive, but it's definitely worth it. And I heard a joke last year. why did God give us two hands?
Why did God give us two hands? Why, Ken Carr?
So you can hold two turkey legs at the same time.
Oh, boy.
So it's a festival that features a medieval amusement park. There's a 16-stage theater, 50-acre circus, arts and crafts fair, jousting tournament, which is fun. Nothing like men on horses with big sticks trying to knock each other off. And, of course, the feast, which is one of the best parts of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, time to eat after all the fun.
And this, is that we're getting closer to spring when the Renaissance Festival kicks in.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit culture, it could be in your life. A little bit of culture could be in your life tomorrow. The Arizona Opera is doing La Boheme.
Mm-hmm.
And that's tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, one performance only at the Linda Ronstadt Music Hall. And it's set in Paris, one of the most romantic cities in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a performance of the classic La Boheme, so you might want to check that out. If you'd like to head next weekend to the Tubac Festival of the Arts, that's going on in Tubac, and it's a big weekend. Kicks off Wednesday, runs through Sunday. There's over 200 visiting artists that exhibit
wow.
their work. There's 125 shops open, the fine art galleries, even a horse-drawn trolley ride, festival eateries, live entertainment, a lot going on down in Tubac. Let's see what else. How about the Cactus Classic softball tournament?
Where is that happening?
The Lincoln Regional Park at the North Complex. And this is what's kind of neat about this. I know we have a number of sports tournaments this time of year. But at this tournament, they bring in teams from Division III college, NAIA, and junior colleges. And the reason they do it in Tucson is because the weather is so nice. So these are teams from like Nebraska and North Dakota and some really cold weather climates.
Like your home state.
Yeah, that have trouble playing softball in very warm conditions this time of year. So they travel to Tucson to do it. It's really kind of nice.
All right, a lot going on. And, of course, setting the stage for some of our signature events, certainly the Gem Show in February, and then the rodeo, of course, and big golf tournament. Isn't there going to be one, too, this year?
Yes, that's the Coligard, I believe.
There you go. Yeah. Ken Carr, we'll listen for your work middays on 101.7 The Drive. Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Thanks to Ken Carr, and thanks to Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing. Have a great weekend, everybody.